Support comes from the Ohio State University Comprehensive Cancer Center, James Cancer Hospital, and Solove Research Institute. Just as no two people are exactly the same, neither are their cancers. At the OSU CCC James, there is no routine cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's the WOSU Fall Membership Drive. More about that in a moment. Ohio Stadium is 100 years old this year. In fact, I think the first game was played there. It would be 100 years ago next week on October 7th. Over that century, the SHU has seen hundreds of football games, seated millions, I think something like 50 million fans, and witnessed the prowess of 8 national championship teams. And Ohio Stadium has expanded to meet the needs of a powerhouse college football program over the years. We're talking about that history today. Columbus Dispatch sports reporter Bill Rabinowitz has covered OSU football since 2011. He's written 2 books about the team, Buckeye Rebirth in 2013 and The Chase in 2015. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Nice to be with you, Ann.
And Don Patko is the Associate Athletic Director for Facilities and Capital Projects at Ohio State, where for 28 years he oversaw the daily operation of Ohio Stadium. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann.
You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and we are asking you to support this nonprofit public service radio station. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And we have some wonderful thank you gifts for this hour to celebrate 100 years of Ohio Stadium. For $15 a month as a sustaining member, you'll get a pair of tickets for an exclusive tour of Ohio Stadium. They are opening their doors to WOSU members, and you and a guest can go behind the scenes on either October 11th or November 2nd. This guided tour will allow you to walk the sidelines where Woody once roamed, Archie made history, and where the Buckeyes have battled since 1922. In addition to the tour, we'll also send you 4 commemorative items that recognize 100 years of Ohio Stadium. This includes a pennant, an enamel pin, a can koozie, and a 100th anniversary decal. This thank you gift is exclusive for WOSU members who give this hour. Don't miss this chance for 2 tickets for a behind-the-scenes tour of Ohio Stadium. That's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 when you give at WOSU.org or when you call 866-897-9678. For $10 a month as a sustainer, we're offering those fun items I just mentioned. It's the 100 Years of Ohio Stadium collection, and it includes a 100th anniversary felt pennant, an enamel pin, a 100th anniversary can koozie, and a decal that will be perfect to display on your car or cooler. This gift package is available exclusively to WOSU members who give $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. Give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So for all of you Buckeye fans out there, this is the show for you. If you love walking into that gigantic stadium on a crisp Saturday afternoon in the fall, that's what we're talking about today. The legends, the lore, the history, and everything that goes with it. My guests are Columbus Dispatch sports reporter Bill Rabinowitz and also Don Patko. He's Associate Athletic Director for Facilities and Capital Projects at Ohio State. For 28 years, he oversaw the daily operation of Ohio Stadium. Don, it's been 100 years with this structure, but it's been expanded over the years too, right?
Yeah. We had a major renovation from 98 to 2001. It pretty much rebuilt the horseshoe. Infrastructure was in disrepair. The water lines were bad. We did a lot of work to fix all the different utilities, and we also added a permanent south stands. We also built to do a permanent south stands, we had to get rid of the Jesse Owens track in the stadium. We built a $13 million track in the honor of Jesse Owens' name across the river. And we added seats to the upper deck. We lowered the field 14 and a half feet. And we kind of built a double A deck where the track was. And we the field is now 14 and a half feet lower than where it is today, where it was back then. But we wanted to honor Howard Dwight Smith, who was our university architect that designed the stadium. We wanted to make all the different renovations match. So the double A meets A deck, which meets B, which goes into C. So we feel like with what we did with South Stands and in the transition with double A into A, we hit the nail on the head.
It respected the integrity of the original design.
That's right.
And, you know, Bill, back when it was built in 1922, that was built for about 40,000, I think, 40,000 fans.
About 60,000, yeah.
About 60,000, okay. And people at the time said that they'll never fill it.
Yeah, they absolutely, because Ohio State was not the juggernaut it became then. Chick Harley's success.
OSU's first star quarterback,
Yeah, first star player.
Oh, player.
1916 to 19, I think it was. He kind of showed what the potential of the program was, and his success made people start to dream about having this great field to replace Ohio Field, which only, I think, held about 20,000. But to go from 20 to 60, beyond 60, people thought they were a little bit, that was a little overambitious.
I read an article once about how there was a game between Ohio State and Wesleyan University out of Delaware.
Right.
Was that in the stadium or was that beforehand, which kind of suggested that there's a real demand for this?
Well, there was kind of before. I think that might have been the first game that was played there.
Okay.
But they had some games against Illinois and Michigan that people were like sitting in trees trying to get a view of the game, and they were like, well, we can build this bigger stadium. But again, to go from that to 60 plus thousand, people thought that was too much.
I don't know. I guess 60,000 would be a pretty big stadium today, sort of anyways. How many does it seat now?
It's 102,780.
And it fills up?
Yep.
Every
game.
Every home game. Those crazy Buckeye fans.
It was actually a little bit bigger, the renovation. Made it a little bit smaller because it was just, which was fine. I mean,
it used to be a little bit
slightly bigger.
Maybe it was about 104,000. We added some premium seats in the northwest corner, which took a small portion of B deck out, but lowered it about 2,000.
Okay, I think I kind of vaguely remember people complaining about that.
Could be.
You are listening to 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher, and it is our membership drive, and we're asking you to make a gift and support this public radio station today. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer, and we have a wonderful thank you gift experience for you. Get two tickets for an exclusive behind-the-scenes tour of Ohio Stadium. We're offering this experience in conjunction with the 100th anniversary of Ohio Stadium. Ohio Stadium opened in 1922, and fun fact, WOSU Radio first went on the air in 1922, so we're 100 years old, too. We share this date as an anniversary. Make your gift of $15 a month and celebrate 100 years of Ohio Stadium while supporting and celebrating public radio. You and a guest will get to tour the stadium on either October 11th or November 2nd from 4 to 6:30 p.m. You will walk the sidelines where Woody once roamed and where Archie made history. You'll get to see one of the nation's largest collegiate press boxes where more than 400 media personnel are seated for games. You'll also visit a suite on the Huntington Club level and see the band center, home of the best damn band in the land. Don't miss your chance to get tickets and take this tour. Plus, we have four fun commemorative items to help you celebrate 100 years of Ohio Stadium in style. That's $15 a month as a sustainer, or a one-time gift of $180. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If there is a huge Buckeye fan in your world, or if you're a huge Buckeye fan, this is a perfect way to enjoy something that you care so much about, or share it with somebody else that you know will love it. Thank you to Ruth Segerson from Columbus for your show of support. 866-897-9678 is the number to call. You know, you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher for in-depth analysis of the most important issues of the day. We've been digging deep into the opioid crisis in Ohio. In fact, I've been doing shows about that for 13 years now. We have examined social justice issues and racial disparities, but there is also room on this show to take a break from the news, having shows about arts, culture, travel, and of course, the Buckeyes. These shows are important too. If having a talk show that is truly local is important to you, please make a gift today at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. Bill Rabinowitz, how often do fans talk about the stadium itself?
All the time. And when I go there, obviously I've covered games for a long time, and I went to games with my dad for a long time. You just can't, admire just the beauty of the stadium, the arches, the rotunda. It's, let's say, a cathedral. It's just a beautiful place to go. And even now, even though I go every Saturday, I always take a moment and just look at it and think, this is a privilege to go cover a game at this beautiful stadium.
And the press corps, it says it's the biggest box?
Well, I can't judge. It's probably the biggest I've been to. Michigan's is pretty big, too, but I think Ohio State's is bigger. It's actually two press boxes. There's the home press box, and then there's to the right, there's a visiting press box as well.
Oh, so you don't all sit together in
no,
the same place?
No, we don't sit with those people.
So crazy. What is the deal with those kinds of amenities, the press boxes and stuff like that, Don Paco? People talked about the luxury seating that's available now and the suites and all that kind of stuff.
Well, one of the goals of our renovation years ago was to make sure that, when you have an old structure, you also have an old building that is at an old building code. So you're building on the stadium and you're also preserving the 1922 building, but you're also adding things, widening aisles to the code of today. So we brought Ohio Stadium from 1922 up to the present day code. We had one elevator going up to the press box before the renovation. We had no restrooms in C deck. We had two concessions on the east of C and two on the west of C. And with the renovation, we built out from the new columns that we call the outbuild, and we put restrooms and concessions so those fan amenities could be there. We also built a larger press box. We had very few spots for the media back in the old press box, and we had very few luxury suites. We have 101 luxury suites now, and we have enough media spots for most all the media people. So we also added restrooms. In 1922, we didn't have a lot of women's restrooms. A lot of women didn't go to the game. But we added 50-50 men to women restrooms with our renovation, and the fans love it. Some of the men have to wait now.
Yeah, so it always gives you a little thrill when you see that. As a female, it's waited in plenty of lines. As far as the shape, it's called the shoe because it used to be shaped like a horseshoe. We still call it the shoe. Is that just tradition or what?
It's tradition, but it was a conscious design from Howard Dwight Smith. He had a few
goals. Ohio State grad, by the way.
Yeah, he was originally from Dayton. It was original. His bow-shaped design wanted to tilt the fans towards the field of play. So Thomas French, university engineer that was in charge of the project, hired Howard Dwight Smith to make sure that we designed a stadium that met elements of, we weren't looking at Michigan Stadium. We were looking at Harvard. We were looking at Princeton. We were looking at some of those concrete structures is what Howard Dwight Smith emulated part of his design from some of those designs. Harvard had a straight U where Howard Dwight Smith didn't like the fact that people on the ends weren't tilted towards the field of play. Also with track and field, that set the whole bow of the horseshoe because the 220 had to run out of the stadium. So a regular track was very popular in the 20s.
And it had to accommodate that
as
well.
It had to accommodate track as well. The other thing he wanted to do is make sure we had a double-deck stadium and space underneath for activity in the winter. So the double-deck stadium came about, and some of the baseball stadiums were doing it, but it brought more of your crowd focused over the center of the field of play, which I think turned out to create a very beautiful structure that we now call the horseshoe.
Michigan has a bowl-style stadium. Was there a reason why they didn't go that route?
Well, we couldn't dig down. We were right next to the river.
Okay.
We had to, Michigan stadiums, a lot of it is barely above grade.
Okay. You go down into it.
The whole thing about Ohio Stadium was we had to reroute one leg or one bow of the river to create the site, you know, to even have a site to build it. So engineers dammed the northern bow that was a spur that came off the Olentangy, and once they dammed that off, that created that land that we have Ohio Stadium in today. But even right now, even though we dug down 14 and a half feet with the renovation, if I don't have those pumps in place,
really?
we could be 6 feet underwater because that's the water table.
Wow. You know, Bill Rabinowitz, it's interesting how you could be driving by on 315 and the stadium's right there. It's such a huge presence.
Right. Absolutely. Even like when I fly into Columbus, don't your eyes automatically, where's the shoe? Where's the shoe? And you're like, okay, I'm home. You know, it is still a horseshoe. Technically, if you look at the south stands, it was deliberately, there is still a little bit of a gap.
Yeah.
So that technically it is a horseshoe. It's not, the two sides don't touch. So it is still technically a horseshoe.
Thanks to Cynthia and Jim DeGrand from Columbus. Thanks for your support of 89.7 NPR News during our 89.7 NPR News fall membership drive. If you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher every day, then now is the time to show your support. 89.7 NPR News is a part of your life. You rely on this station for important information. All Sides has been covering the economy. You've heard shows on the challenges of affordable housing and the future of work in a post-pandemic world. We're covering the opioid crisis, and we've been previewing the midterm elections. 89.7 NPR News brings you news and information that you can trust to be accurate. Give now and support the coverage you count on. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This hour, we're talking about the 100th anniversary of Ohio Stadium. Make a gift of $10 a month right now, and you can get the 100 Years of Ohio Stadium collection. Get it for yourself. Get it for your favorite Ohio State fan. It includes four commemorative items in a package made available exclusively through WOSU. You'll get a 100th anniversary enamel pin, a felt pennant, a can koozie, and a decal. See pictures of these items and make a gift of $10 a month at WOSU.org. Or increase that gift to $15 a month and get the 100th anniversary collection that I just mentioned, plus two tickets to tour Ohio Stadium. This behind-the-scenes tour takes you inside the storied history of Buckeye football. Walk the sidelines where the Buckeyes have battled since 1922. Visit the press box, see a suite on the Huntington Club level, and explore the recruitment center filled with pictures of current and former Buckeye greats. That's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 when you call 866-897-9678 or give online at WOSU.org. Make a gift of $10 or $15 a month and support public radio while getting access to these thank you gifts. If you're a fan of public radio and the Buckeyes, then this hour is for you. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. And again, we're talking about Ohio, all things Ohio Stadium today with Columbus Dispatch sports reporter Bill Rabinowitz, who's been covering OSU football since 2011 and has written two books about the team, Buckeye Rebirth in 2013 and The Chase in 2015. Don Patko is my other guest. He's the Associate Athletic Director for Facilities and Capital Projects at Ohio State. And for the last 28 years, he has managed the daily operation of Ohio Stadium. Bill, take us back, if you could. I know you weren't born yet. You weren't even the twinkle in anybody's eye back in pre-1922 and Chick Corley. And tell us about who he was and why his emergence as a football star. I misspoke and said he was a quarterback, but why his emergence as a football star for Ohio State was so important.
Yeah, Ohio State was just a fledgling program. Michigan was the dominant program, certainly in the Midwest at that time. And the rivalry was nothing like it became. And Chick Corley arrived, a local player, local kid. He wasn't very big,
right,
but he was incredibly quick and just he just was a phenom. And he really brought Ohio State football into prominence. Without him, there's no Ohio Stadium.
When you know, when I did a show on him years ago, somebody wrote a book about his life.
Bob Hunter, yeah.
Okay, Bob Hunter. And my recollection is he did more than just for Ohio State. He really was an original football star.
Yeah, he was. I mean, again, you know, it is before my time. But
people came from other places to see him play.
Yeah, he was absolutely, it was like, let's go see Chick Corley. I mean, people who didn't really have any interest in Ohio State, they didn't not even have known about Ohio State football until Chick Corley arrived. And then he was the kind of player you couldn't take your eyes off of.
Kind of like Magic Johnson at Michigan State. Just had to throw that in there.
Kind of.
Yeah. The Rotunda is one of the most recognizable features of the stadium. And it's so beautiful. Why, you know, why was that important to the designer, the architect?
I think Howard Dwight Smith, one of the main things he wanted to do is create a monument. You know, a monument. And a lot of monuments, if you go to Washington, D.C. and you walk up on the Washington Monument or the Lincoln Memorial, the gates in Ohio Stadium have a presence that are lower. And then you walk up to the rotunda and you see the coffered ceilings, you see the terracotta, you see the festoon banding, you know, the roping that surrounds that. And you see the big half dome, which Howard Dwight Smith got that from the Pantheon in Rome, which the Pantheon was a full dome, but he wanted to feature it as a walk-up, so he made it a half dome. And it really has a feel of a monument when you walk up, when you look at that. And that's where a lot of our fans enter the stadium. That's where a lot of them visit. We've had weddings up there. We have different get-togethers up there, and it's just a focal point. And when we renovated the stadium from 98 to 2001, we, on the original drawings, it showed in those three rotunda areas, the openings, it showed plate glass that was never installed. And we developed a stained glass where it shows an offensive play, a defensive pileup, and the block go. And I think that gives it a little bit more character. But it's just the whole monument feel that makes the rotunda so special.
Yeah. Bill Rabinowitz.
Two years ago when it didn't look like there was going to be a season because of the pandemic, when Ohio State parents, the players' parents, had a rally, that's where they did it, at the rotunda, you know, the symbolism of that. And I think that rally, along with many other things that happened, was part of the process that enabled a season to actually happen.
Why so?
Well, I mean, just the rally showed
spirit.
At least a lot of people, yeah, that they were not going to give up on the season, for one thing. But just the fact, where we're going to have a rally? At the rotunda. It was just an obvious thing.
And during the pandemic, what was the seating arrangements?
There were no fans.
No one.
Only the players' relatives were allowed in the stadium and us and the media. So
that
was a very surreal
experience
to go cover a game, and they had piped in noise, and it was just I can't even describe what it was like to cover games that year. It was just so weird.
I remember watching them and thinking, having to remind myself, that's fake noise. That's fake noise.
Yes.
We did pipe in fake noise.
was that for the players or what?
It was completely empty except for 1,500 people. And like Bill said, it was hard to watch. But it was a necessary thing we had to do for the time and the pandemic. But, you know, 1,500 fans and there's not,
it's not
much
enough.
In 102,000 seat stadium.
So when you pipe in the noise, though, is that for the players?
That was for the players. That was for the TV.
Okay.
But we had a little timing issues. It didn't always sync up to when when it normally
it
would
sense.
In a regular game. But we worked our way through it.
Oh, man. So many stories to tell. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. The Buckeyes won their first national championship in 1942 under head coach Paul Brown.
Yes.
And then came Woody Hayes, right?
Paul Brown, that was 1942, and then the war, of course, happened, World War II. And Paul Brown ended up going to Cleveland and founding the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
And Ohio State went through a few, you know, fallow years, and then 1950, the Snow Bowl game, the famous or infamous Snow Bowl game, Ohio State loses 9-3 to Michigan.
Was that Michigan? Yeah.
Yeah, and Wes Fessler, the coach at the time, decided to punt on third down. He gets fired after the game. They hire this obscure coach from Miami University, Woody Hayes, and then obviously the program becomes Ohio State football.
The next major chapter in the Ohio Stadium comes with the multi-year, multi-million dollar renovation that began in 1998. You've mentioned that a few times, Don. I wonder how they do renovations like that while a season is in play.
We had to work around the seasons. You know, from 98 to 2001, we renovated Ohio Stadium, added $207 million dollars worth of construction onto that building, and never dropped below 90,000 seats. So we had to build a perimeter of gates, and even on the outbuild where we were building huge bent construction pieces that holds the new upper deck, we had to have travel pass for people for safety and fire code to get them in and out and egress. So we really had to work hard during that time period, especially when it got closer to the season, where we had to start cleaning up and getting ready for that actual season. We had a transverse aisle in the stadium.
What do you mean by that?
It's an actual aisle in the seating area.
Okay.
Because we had part of the portals taken out.
Okay.
So we needed a cross aisle by code, so we had to put one in the actual seating. So we had to do some things that were architectural, some things that were mechanical, some things that were plumbing related that is just different than you would normally do it because you had to meet code of the upcoming season.
Was there ever conversations about not having a season, but playing elsewhere?
We did play elsewhere for the spring game.
Okay.
Played at the Cruz Stadium.
Okay.
Played in Cincinnati one year. But no, we had to maintain 90,000 seats during the renovation. It's also a revenue thing.
Thanks to Edward Massey of Columbus. Edward is already a member, and he's giving an extra gift for this show. So thanks so much, Edward, for showing your support for 89.7 NPR News. And obviously, you're a Buckeye fan, so that's good for you. Thank you to Bruce Thiemann from Delaware for your support of 89.7 NPR News. This is 89.7 NPR News, and this is our membership drive. Remember, gifts from listeners like you, like Edward and Bruce. That's the foundation of our budget. We don't answer to commercial influences in public radio. We are not beholden to shareholders. We only answer to you, our listeners. Make a gift now and support this listener. Support this mission, I mean, at WOSU.org. Or you can call 866-897-9678. And Bill Rabinowitz, you're pretty tricky. I'm supposed to say thank you to you as well. It says you are magical and gave while talking to us. And I think somebody else behind the scenes was doing the deed.
I know the source of that.
Thank you, Mrs. Rabinowitz.
Yes.
When you make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer, you can get two tickets for a tour of Ohio Stadium. Ohio State is opening the doors of the stadium to WOSU members for a commemorative tour experience. You and a guest will attend on one of two dates, either October 11th or November 2nd. This guided tour is extensive. It lasts from 4 to 6:30 p.m. You will explore many areas of the Horseshoe and have a unique Buckeye experience with other WOSU members. Plus, with those two tour tickets, we'll also give you our 100 Years of Ohio Stadium collection, which includes four commemorative items in a package made available exclusively through WOSU. You'll get a 100th anniversary enamel pin, a felt pennant, a can koozie, and a decal. That's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If $10 a month month fits into your budget, then you can get the 100 Years of Ohio Stadium collection. Again, this includes the four commemorative items celebrating the 100th anniversary: the enamel pin, a felt pennant, a can koozie, and a decal. That will look great displayed on your car or cooler. See a picture of these four items at WOSU.org. Or make a gift of $10. See the picture of these items at WSU.org and make a gift of $10 a month. Whether you give $10 or $15 a month, you will be supporting public radio and All Sides with Ann Fisher. Take a moment right now to show your appreciation for public radio by becoming a member. Give at WOSU.org and thank you. Thanks to Jerome Friedman of Columbus. Jerry Friedman, thank you so much for your support of 89.7 NPR News. We appreciate your support. 866-897-9678 is the number to call, or you can go to WOSU.org and show your support right now. Don, most people probably don't know that before the renovation, there was student housing in the stadium. I never got a chance to see it. I was always fascinated by that, the idea of that. What can you tell us about it?
Well, the Mary student housing the student housing was for, you know, people with very high intellect, and their families didn't have a lot of money. And they worked within the dorms. There was two levels of dorms in there. And actually, Howard Dwight Smith designed it.
For that.
Yeah, so that wasn't part of the original, but he designed it while he was the university architect for years after. But the students would work in there. They would do their own cleaning. They would do their own sweeping. They'd clean up in the kitchen. And it was a nice opportunity for somebody with, you know, very little means.
It was a scholarship opportunity.
Scholarship
then.
Opportunity
okay.
For students with very little means to get an education.
And it was like that all the way? I mean, why did they end up shutting it down?
It's not shut down.
Oh, they're still living
it's,
there.
I don't know which dorm it is, but it's on the South Campus.
Oh, there is that opportunity.
And we put a memorial sign up in the stadium in two places, one at the press elevator and one right by Gate 23 on the west side that honors the scholarship dorm. And we also, I don't know if it's Mack Hall or one of the South dorms where they actually still have it. They're still in operation.
What were they like?
The dorms had no windows. I mean, the hallways had windows, but the dorms themselves were kind of back and in the
inside
the Raker of underneath A deck.
Uh-huh.
And they were also tied to our ramp system. So our ramps had a little sounding alarm that used to go off, and we always knew right before a game when that alarm would go off, we never caught them. They always got in, and the door was sitting wide open. So there must have been a few that snuck their way in or had some ability to get in that way.
Well, I mean, I guess it beats a tree. I'm just thinking back to those days when people would sit up in trees, as you said, and watch the games before the stadium was built, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. I would always loved to have seen those dorms. I never did.
Yeah.
The renovation finished in time for the 2002 season in which OSU won its first national championship since 1970?
68. Well,
68.
Yeah, 70, that's kind of an asterisk at best national championship. Obviously, they lost in the Rose Bowl to Stanford that year.
Oh.
But there was one, I think it was UPI, that didn't do a post-bowl poll. And so Ohio State was number one going into the game. They wouldn't have been if they'd had a postseason poll. So it's not a legitimate national championship, really.
We okay. claim it.
Yeah, I know you claim it, but, you know.
The journalists. Is that you being objective, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. How is the university and the athletic department celebrating the 100th anniversary?
This weekend we have a 100-year dedication game. You know, it's also homecoming.
Yep.
I'm also going Friday to the School of Architecture to visit with Cindy Starr, who's the granddaughter of Howard Dwight Smith. And we're going to listen to some of her remarks Friday. Just this morning, before I came over to your show, we put in a historical marker
in
the rotunda of the stadium.
Oh, for the 100th anniversary? Yeah,
the stadium's been on the historic register of, you know, places since 1974. But this is Ohio Historical plaque that sits out front now.
What makes it that historic that would be on a national register?
I just think that it's monument quality. It's our crown jewel. It's if you look back on the history of Ohio Stadium and the sacrifices President Thompson made and Thomas French and Howard Dwight Smith, who was hired by Thomas French, and all they did, you know, there was some overages with that project that it was about $1.5 million to build it. But even with some of the overages, some of those leaders had to mortgage their own houses. And I do capital projects today for OSU. And, you know, we're insured by the department. We're insured by the university for overages. But back then,
they stuck their own necks out.
They stuck their own necks out for this building.
Yeah, and it was a statewide project. All 88 counties were kind of assigned, given the responsibility for raising money. And when that each county would hit their target, the light bulb would go off at the armory, I think it was.
In a horseshoe shape.
So it really was. And they had a parade to start the fundraising drive. This was a project. I mean, when you ask about the historical significance, I mean, I can't think of another structure in the state of Ohio that is more iconic than that. I mean, you think of Ohio, name one structure in Ohio, I bet you most people would say the horseshoe.
Right. It's interesting. It makes me understand maybe a little bit better why the Buckeyes have always been considered Ohio's team, the whole state.
Very much so, because if you think about the pro sports teams in the state, you have in baseball, the Reds the Reds and the Guardians. You have the Browns and the Bengals, who are obviously rivals. There's nothing in the state that kind of united. College basketball, there are a bunch of really good programs in the state, so it's not quite the same. But you think about Ohio State football. Yes, University of Cincinnati football has gotten good in the last few years, but it's not as iconic.
Yeah, I mean, and I think about Michigan coming from Michigan. It was always Michigan State and Michigan. It's always been sort of a split state.
Right. It's not. This is the one thing that unifies the state.
Interesting. Do you think it'll last another 100 years? I guess is one thing.
When we renovated 98 to 2001, our architect, Osborne Architects out of Cleveland, who designed Yankee Stadium, they did a lot of things restoration-wise. We restored concrete. We fixed steel. We coated steel to make sure that, the 1922 structural elements were going to last. And the Osborne Group said you'll get 75 more years of life. That was in 2001. But since then, we've done A-deck concrete coatings. We've done C-deck concrete coatings. We've painted structural steel. It's not like you can just go away from the stadium. You have to be a maintenance purveyor of what you got to do to make sure that you take that stadium into the future. And everything we do or we accomplish in a capital project that relates to maintenance goes towards years of life for Ohio Stadium. And we're committed to that. We feel like that's our duty.
And here at WOSU Public Media, we feel like it's our duty to make sure WOSU Public Media is here in 100 years for everybody. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and we are very excited to be talking about 100 years of Ohio Stadium this hour, which happens to coincide with 100 years of WOSU Public Media. On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we talk about the news of the day, but we also love to talk about history. That's what this hour is all about, the storied history of the Buckeyes and their stadium. Make a gift today to support the wide variety of topics discussed on this show. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We have just about 16 minutes left in the hour. Let's hear from 10 more people. Help make this hour a success. 10 more gifts before the end of the hour. With a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer, you can get the 100 Years of Ohio Stadium collection. This includes 4 commemorative items in a package made available exclusively to WOSU members like you. You will get a 100th anniversary felt pennant, an enamel enamel pin, a can koozie, and a decal. Become a sustaining member at $10 a month and get this great package of 100th anniversary commemorative items. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And again, we're looking for 10 more gifts before the end of the hour. For $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you can get access to a behind-the-scenes tour of Ohio Stadium. They are opening the stadium doors to WOSU members, and you and a guest can go behind the scenes on either October 11th or November 2nd. This guided tour will allow you to walk the sidelines where Woody once roamed and raved and ranted, where Archie made history and where the Buckeyes have battled since 1922. In addition to the tour, we'll also send you those four commemorative items that recognize 100 years of Ohio Stadium, including a pennant, an enamel pin, a can koozie, and a 100th anniversary decal. This thank you gift is exclusive for WOSU members who give this hour. Don't miss this chance for two tickets for a behind-the-scenes tour of Ohio Stadium. That's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 when you give at WOSU.org or when you call 866-897-9678. And thanks to Sue and Thomas DeVore in Columbus, that means we have 9 more gifts to go this hour. Show your support for 89.7 NPR News in its 100th year by showing support for Ohio Stadium in its 100th year. There's a lot to celebrate here at Ohio State. The stadium is one of them. WOSU Public Media is something else entirely, but all wrapped up in the same time frame, the same great growth of a great university. On one side, you have an incredible football team. On the other, you have incredible promise in the dreams, the hopes and dreams of 89.7 NPR News. So show your support. Tell us that this is something that you value, that you want to see around for another 100 years. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Show your support right now. Bill, the Buckeyes finish a long stretch of home games with Rutgers this Saturday. That shouldn't pose much of a challenge, but then they have to travel to East Lansing to face the Spartans. I can't even say this question. Someone's mocking me. Are you nervous?
I don't get nervous about outcomes of games, but if I'm an Ohio State fan, I'm not nervous about that game. Sorry.
Yeah, Ann. As a Spartan fan, I am.
You should be worried.
I can't even speak. I can't even talk about it. But what are your expectations about the season going forward? There's lots of talk.
Oh, yeah, they're number 3 in the country. They've played very well. They beat Notre Dame to start the season. They're
smashing everybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, we expected that to happen against Arkansas State and Toledo. To do it against Wisconsin was a bit of an eye-opener. I mean, Wisconsin is Wisconsin. You know, they don't have much of a passing game, and Ohio State does. So it wasn't a complete shock, but to jump on them the way they did, 28-0 after 17 minutes and then just coast. I mean, this has a chance to be a special Ohio State team.
You've been covering since 2011.
Yes.
What's the most memorable
Game? I would probably say the Alabama game, the Sugar Bowl, and the first college football playoff semifinals. And not many people gave Ohio State a chance in that game, and Ohio State really took it to Alabama. They rallied from 21-6 down, which Alabama, when they get that kind of lead, hardly ever loses. And they won that, you know, the big SEC. Ohio State took down the SEC. And then they beat Oregon, obviously, in the national championship game. Just that season. I mean, that's the chase. That's the book about that.
And 2015 book, yeah.
So improbable that you would have a third-string quarterback, Cardale Jones, to lead them in the playoffs, and all the things that team endured. It was just a once-in-a-lifetime kind of season.
Everyone likes a comeback, right? What about you, Don Paco, and your career at Ohio State managing the stadium? What's the most memorable? What strikes you as the most memorable moment?
Well, you know, there's been a lot over the years. You know, that win against Michigan, where we won in, you know, the last second in overtime, and guy runs into the north end zone, and you know that's just, and the crowd goes crazy. You know, we're blessed. We're blessed to have tradition. We're blessed to have that wonderful stadium. And we're going to celebrate it with this 100 years.
Speaking of tradition, there's a big relation, a strong relationship between the stadium and the marching band.
Yeah, the marching band's been around for many years. A lot of people like the marching band as well as they like the team.
Yes.
The ramp entrance, the St. John Arena Skull Session is just fabulous, especially when the team comes down and the coach says a few words in St. John Arena. We are the 1956 building, St. John Arena, where Howard Dwight Smith was also the designer, is packed to the rafters. I mean, for that Skull Session. So they come over to the stadium and they sing on the North Rotunda and the ramp before they go out. And that ramp entrance is just, it still gives me chills.
Yeah.
But the marching band is second to none. All brass, just fantastic.
It is. And when you're when you're making amendments to the stadium over the years, did you make any accommodations for the band?
That's a story I do need to tell. Is one of the architects, because of handicap access, they wanted the north ramp to be a switchback ramp.
Huh.
And because
like a two-way kind of a
thing. Nowhere it goes left, right, left, right, left, right.
Okay.
Now, can you imagine our band coming down left,
well,
right?
Well, I'm sure they could do it because they're the best damn band in the land, but.
How we accommodated that, we put the handicap ramps in the south, east, and southwest ends, and we made the north one very steep after communicating with the band, and they said, we don't care how steep it is. We will make it work.
Yeah. I always watch Script Ohio.
Yeah.
It's just, I always say Script Ohio is undefeated.
Yeah.
You know, you watch it every week.
And everybody loves that.
And personally, it's special to me because the first time Ohio State performed that was October 10th, 1936. That was the day my father was born.
Oh.
Who became an Ohio State grad, met my mom, a Dayton native at Ohio State. And so when I watched that, it's special to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's been around a long time and people have tried to copy it, but there's nothing like the Script Ohio. And it was actually something that was introduced by Michigan, right? University of Michigan. They did it for Ohio State. As a gift, they performed it, and Ohio State stole it from them.
Always have to get the Michigan.
Michigan State fans, you know, we feel the same about Michigan as Ohio State. There's only one game we wish they'd win.
It's a selfish side.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting off track. Mary Ludlam from Columbus, thank you for your support of 89.7 NPR News. That means we have 8 more gifts to go this hour. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is our fall membership drive, and the fall season and Ohio State football go hand in hand for people who live in Columbus. For some people, that's when they go grocery shopping. For a lot of other people, they're glued to the tube or they're at the stadium, and that's why we're partnering with Ohio State Athletics to offer some great thank you gifts this hour. But what's more important than the thank you gifts is you support public radio right now. Listeners who become members are the most important part of WOSU. Support public radio with in-depth local news, national news from NPR, and international news from the BBC. This is a station you listen to every day. This is a station you count on to keep you informed every day. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Help us make this hour a success. Make a gift before the hour is over, just like Mary Ludlam did. We have 8 more to go before the end of the hour in just about 6 minutes. Make a gift of $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 and get 2 tickets to tour Ohio Stadium and celebrate the stadium's 100th anniversary. You and a guest can go behind the scenes on either October 11th or November 2nd. On this guided tour, you'll spend time on the field, you'll visit the press box, see a suite on the Huntington Club level, and explore the recruitment center filled with pictures of current and former Buckeye greats. That's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 when you call 866-897-9678. Or give online at WOSU.org. Make a gift of $10 or $15 a month right now before this hour is over, and your gift in any amount is so powerful. Listeners and members are the power of public radio. You're supporting a show that is truly local. The news cycle can seem relentless. We've all been covering it. from Russia's war in Ukraine to the midterm elections. But on this show, there's also room for a break from the news. Shows about history and Columbus tradition. These shows are important, too. So support All Sides today. Make a gift now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And thank you for your support. This is the dumb question. There's a victory bell.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
In the southeast tower of Ohio Stadium, there's a victory bell. Alpha Phi Omega, co-ed fraternity, okay, sorority. They ring it. That's a responsibility. Their placard is up there in that tower. And it's been there for years. I don't know the exact year it went in, but after every game, it rings for a certain amount of time if we win.
Have you heard that before,
oh, yeah,
Bill?
Of course, and the third down bell, right?
Or well, the third down bell is.
Yeah,
we just do that with the scoreboard.
Okay, but when there's a third down for the opponent, it's like this doomsday kind of, you know, sound. I guess like it's third down.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. And then there was another thing: the Ohio Stadium Theater. There was a theater.
There was a theater organization that they even stored things up above the North Rotunda Towers, and, you know, the stadium had to be designed for multi-use.
Yeah.
You know, it had to be. Track was very popular, as I said.
And Jesse Owens.
And Jesse Owens is iconic, and we're so proud of him. And the theater department had productions in there, and even in the North Towers of the upper deck, there was supposed to be holes to where you could project film onto a screen, down to people watching it.
And then there's commencement ceremonies
every
year.
And then we still have commencement in May.
What's that like? What do you have to do to get ready for something like that?
We just prepare the field to cover it so that people can walk because our synthetic field is
there.
It's
synthetic again. How many times? You gone back and forth, like three or four times?
We've been several times. Yeah. Grass and synthetic over the years. But we put a flooring down so that we honor the fact that, you know, the kids made it through their 4 years or five or six. But they come down, and it's the largest graduation of the year. It's probably about 9,000 to 11,000 students. Plus, the Ohio Stadium ensures that they don't have to send anybody away and say, you can bring as many people as you want. But we average 45,000 to 50,000 people just for that May event.
And for some of them, it's the only time they go to the stadium. Thank you so much, Don Patko, for joining us. I really appreciate your time today.
No problem.
That's Don Patko. He's Associate Athletic Director for Facilities and Capital Projects at Ohio State, where for the last 28 years, he's managed the daily operation of Ohio Stadium. And also, Bill Rabinowitz, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Ann.
That's Columbus Dispatch reporter Bill Rabinowitz. He's covered OSU football since 2011. He's written two books about the team, Buckeye Rebirth in 2013 and The Chase in 2015. Thanks to everybody who's shown their support for 89.7 NPR News. We have two more minutes left and eight more pledges to go. So show your support for 89.7 NPR News right now. You're listening. This is listener supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org. It's a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News, global and local. And when we say local, we're talking about things like All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you listen every day, you know the work we do to make sure we cover all the issues of the day and have some fun in and amongst those issues. We do our best to keep it bright and light when we need to, but also dig down into the details and get to the underbelly of whatever is on people's minds. Thanks to Armand Arabian from Columbus. Thank you so much for your support. That means we have seven to go in just about a minute. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. You listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher for in-depth analysis of the most important issues of the day. We've been digging deep into the opioid crisis in Ohio. We've examined social justice issues and racial disparities, but there is also room to take a break. Having shows about arts, culture, travel, and of course the Buckeyes, these shows are important too. If having a talk show that is truly local is important to you, please make a gift today at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Linda Bruff for your support of 89.7 NPR News. Make a gift of $10 or $15 a month and support public radio while getting access to our wonderful thank you gifts related to the 100th anniversary of Ohio Stadium. Show your support. If you're a fan of public radio and the Buckeyes, then this hour was meant for you. Give us a call, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Show your support. Show your radio spirit for WOSU Public Media. And thank you for your support.